I'm a morning guy. Now that annoys some of you because you wish you were a morning person and you're not. You know, after your third cup of coffee, you're like barely functional. But the downside of being a morning person is that when it comes to evenings and evening meetings, well, let's just put it this way. I'm pretty sure that at the end of my life, when it comes time for the doctors to pull the plug, they're going to be most tempted to do evening because they're going to go to my wife and they say, Mrs. Ottenbright, we have no, there is nothing going on in the upper deck of your husband's stadium. And that would be true. So any evening meeting, I've told people, I said, I'm not responsible for anything that happens after 9 o'clock, man. I'm checked out at that point. So I am most productive in the morning. And some of you are more productive in the evening or middle of the afternoon, whatever it may be. But I'm sure that we all have times of our day where we would admit we're not very productive. We kind of power down. And it may be for like an hour or so. But sometimes that hour can stretch into a couple hours or 3 hours. Over time, it stretches into half a day, then an entire day, then weeks at a time. We're not very happy with our level of production. And we can find ourselves at work not really giving it our best. In a recent survey, it was found out that 85% of workers said they could work harder. 85%. In fact, more than half said they could double their effort, quote, if they wanted to. That means if you own a business, half of your employees could double their efforts if they were so motivated. That means your children could get done double the homework if they wanted to. This means your pastor could be twice as funny if he wanted to. Well, maybe. I believe we live in a society of minimums and maximums. And what I mean by this, what I mean is this. We want maximum service for minimum taxes. Glad you guys are paying attention. We want maximum grades for minimum studying. We want maximum proficiency at minimum practice. Musicians will know this one very well. We want maximum promotion for minimum work. We want maximum house value for minimum renovation. Right? In other words, we want maximum output for minimum input. And unfortunately, sometimes that same attitude can strike a church. And it can weave itself into a church where it's just good enough. And we can kind of get by on the good enough. Our building is good enough. Our services are good enough. Our programming, our impact, our power, it's good enough. And so we think, if we can put in the minimum effort, we'll have maximum results. I'm here to tell you it doesn't work that way. What if 99.9% was good enough, was considered good enough? Well, here's what would happen with 99.9%. 2 million documents to the IRS would get lost. 22,000 checks would be taken from the wrong account in the next hour. 12 babies would be delivered to the wrong parents today. 5.5 million bottles of pop would have no fizz. I know, that's personal. 20,000 drug prescriptions would go to the wrong person. So 99.9% is often not good enough. And in a church, why would we consider good enough to be our standard, when the stakes are so high. We're in this series called There's Only One You, and you are uniquely gifted for something in this church and in this community. And I hope that as a church, we don't expect that minimum effort will give us maximum results. This morning, we are going to look at a passage that directly attacks this idea of being good enough. And we are going to discover together that we are to give my best and nothing less. Let's dive in to Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6. It goes like this. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. This is a great definition of spiritual gifts, by the way. What are spiritual gifts for? It's so you can do certain things well, right? And God has given us these things in his grace, which is his undeserved favor. You cannot earn your spiritual gift. You didn't buy it. You didn't purchase it with your good behavior. God just gave it to us. And your gift is unique. God has given us different gifts. Ernie's gifted differently from me, and Dave is gifted different from Andrew, and so on and so on. We're all different. Now, let's see what we have to say about effort. Look at the effort that we're asked to give. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. What a good idea. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. By the way, this is translated in the NIV as the gift of mercy. This is what I was talking about earlier, showing kindness to others. What it's telling us in these verses is that whatever gift you have, crank it to 10. Give it your everything. Give it your all. Good enough is not good enough. Do your best. Give generously. Take the responsibility seriously. And then he takes it one step further. Don't just pretend. Don't just pretend to love others. Really, really love them. Love each other. The people in this room, love each other with genuine, genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Heard many sermons on that one lately? Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. We often show love to the people in our church family by serving them. That is often how we do that. But it says, don't just pretend to love them. Don't just go through the motions of loving them. It says, have genuine affection for them. Genuine affection. How do you do that? That's not humanly possible. It is supernaturally possible. It is by the Spirit Himself who lives inside of every follower of Jesus who gives us a love for the people that you're sitting around right now. Because if it was just up to you and I, we'd sit here going, what's in this for me? What does NAC have for me? That's our natural tendencies. Does anyone care to admit they've thought that? I won't look. I have. Thank you for your honesty. At least there's you. All right. It is our natural tendency. It is a supernatural gift of the Spirit to love the people of your church family. I'll tell you why. Because they're all different from you. They vote differently from you. They have different hobbies from you. They don't think the same way. They don't live in the same area. They may have a different ethnic background from you. There's all kinds of reasons. You may say, I have to not love the people sitting around me, but it is the gift of the Spirit that allows us to have genuine affection. for one another. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is a very old story, going back to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 24, where we see this extra effort being given. And it's a story that could be a little offensive because it involves finding a bride for your son. That's a little foreign to our thinking in 2018, but this is the way things were done way back when. Abraham needed a bride for his son Isaac. And so in those days, he sent off a delegate. Go find me a bride for my boy. So this is what this delegate did. He went off to some people that they were distantly related to. Also probably not something that we would do. And he said, go find a fiance. It was roundup time at the Abraham Corral. And this delegate, he says, he prays to God. He says, Lord, I need some help. I need you to show me the person that I am to choose as Isaac's bride. And I'll know who she is when she offers to give me a drink and to give my camels a drink. Now remember, we're talking about effort here, okay? And this is how the story goes. You got a problem with my pet camel? This is how the story goes. Before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebecca coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up again. Running over to her, the servant said, please give me a little drink of water from your jug. Now, pay attention to the details here. There was some distance between where the camels were and where the water was. And in fact, there was some topographical difference. There was a height difference. It talked about going down to the well and coming back up again to the camels. Okay? Getting the picture now. This was no little chore. And all he asked was for a minimum. He said, can I have a drink? I just want to wet my whistle. Can you take care of that? This is her response. Yes, my lord, she answered. Have a drink. And she quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. When she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and ran back to the well to draw water for all his camels. Now, I have been reading the Bible a long, long time. And I look at that and I go, okay, she did a nice thing. Never thought too much about it. But then I did some reading about camels. Camels are amazing creatures. Camels drink a lot of water. After a day's journey, giving a camel a drink is no little task. In fact, each camel can drink about 20 to 30 gallons of water. At the Desert 7-Eleven, this is the big, big gulp. Now, typical in those days, she would be carrying a 5-gallon jug of water. Okay, that was... Now, who's actually carried a 5-gallon jug of water? It's not light. It's heavy. Now, she had to go down to the well, getting 5 gallons at a time, might have had to pull up the bucket from the well several times just to fill her jug, then take that jug up the hill to the camels. Now, we know from earlier in the story that this delegate had 10 camels along. When you start doing the math, you find out that if she took 5 minutes for each jug of water to go down, fill it up, carry it up the hill, and empty it, 5 minutes each, she would have spent 200 minutes watering these camels. That's 3 hours and 20 minutes just watering the camels. Remember, this delegate asked for a minimum. I just want a drink. And she says, sure, I'll give you a drink, and I'll spend the next afternoon watering your camels. Now that's effort, would you not say? That's pretty impressive. You see, Becky had an attitude of my best, nothing less. And what I'm talking about is excellence. And there's a difference between excellence and success. Let me tell you what the difference is. Success is comparing yourself to other people. Excellence is a comparison to your own potential, what you can do. So she thought, the best that I can do is I can water these camels. She must have had the time. She must have had the energy. Must have been a fairly fit girl to pull this off. And so when I talk about excellence, I'm not saying, church family, compare yourself to other people in the church. And when I say, my best, nothing less, that's my best. Not the person down the row's best. It's my best. What can I offer to God that is my best? Becky gave her best. And she gave her best in service to this man she didn't even know. But we can give our best in service to our King. There's a great story about Michelangelo who was painting the Sistine Chapel ceiling. And he spent a particularly long amount of time on this one small area. So much so that his friends began to get frustrated. And they said, Mike, dude. I'm sure they worded it that way. Mike, why are you spending so much time on this little piece? People aren't even going to see this. And you know what his response was? He said, people might not see it, but God will see it. The message in there is, my best, nothing less. What would excellence look like? If this was part of the fabric at Nanaimo Alliance Church, what might it look like? Well, I want to tell you a little something about a place that some of you have been to. Disneyland. Anyone here been to Disneyland? Okay. It must be the Magical Kingdom. You've all been there. At Disneyland, did you know that there is a group of people hired by Disneyland? Their sole purpose is changing light bulbs. That's all they do. All day long, every day, they change light bulbs. And you will never find a burnt-out light bulb in Disneyland. You want to know why? Because they know, this group of people, they know the manufacturer's suggestion for the length of time that each bulb is going to last. And when each bulb gets to 80% of that time, they change it out. They do not wait for a bulb to burn out. They change it. Now that, my friends, is excellence. My best, nothing less. Now, what might it look on a real practical level? Because I don't think most of us are going to spend all day changing light bulbs at Disneyland. Unless that's really your thing. Excellence offers four things. First of all, excellence offers your best time. I already said, I'm a morning person. For me to offer God the hours of 8 to 10 p.m. would not be very good. God would not be getting my best. Your best might be in the afternoon. Your best might be in the evening. But to offer God your best time is really about excellence. You don't offer God the leftovers of your day or your week. You offer God the best time you have to offer. Second, excellence offers careful thought and prayer. Every time we serve, it is a spiritual activity. Every time we serve, no matter what it is, it can have eternal ramifications. A lot of people think, well, the only thing really in a church that deserves careful thought and prayer must be the sermon. That's it, right? Wrong. Every service that is offered to someone else, even if it's going to visit them in the hospital, if it's opening the door on a Sunday morning, if it's bringing someone a meal, requires careful thought and prayer, because you can change someone for eternity by the way you deal with them. Even if it is simple as, Lord, please help me to love the people I'm going to serve. Because I don't know about you, love tends to leak. And so, because of that, one of the prayers that I pray regularly, God, help me to love the people of my church. Help me to love the people of my city. And if that is the only prayer you pray, that is a very good start when you come to serve. Excellence offers careful thought and prayer. So it doesn't matter whether you're ushering or serving the poor or it's youth ministry, it requires careful thought and prayer. Number three, excellence offers sacrificial resources. I've hung around with teachers long enough to know teachers are a funny bunch because they will sacrifice their own dollars for their job. If they think that a lesson will go better with something that they don't have time to get approval for, and maybe there's no money in the school's budget, they'll just go buy it out of their own pocket. Because that's the way teachers are. That's sacrificial. That's giving, that's offering sacrificial resources for the sake of excellence. And it's not only money, it's effort. One of the resources you have is your own energy. And to give that willingly, that's what Becky was all about, right? Becky gave her energy. She didn't offer any money, but she gave an afternoon of her time and she gave it her best effort. Excellence offers sacrificial resources. And number four, excellence offers increasing ownership. I want to tell you a little something about a disease that has affected the church, especially in North America. This disease I have found in every church that I have pastored or attended. This disease is called NML. It is a horrible disease that leaves kids not ministered to, people who don't know Jesus, it leaves them with no one telling them how to find life. It can leave church buildings dirty and uninviting. All kinds of ramifications with NML. So what is it? Do you know? NML. It is this. Not me leading. I found lots of people who are willing to serve, but I'm not leading. Oh, I'm the only one that finds this funny. Okay. Even I found in every church that I've been in, even people who are leading don't even like the word.
Well, I'll help out, but you know, I'm not leading.
I'm like, but you're already leading. What are you talking about? Not me leading. There's an amount of responsibility in the word leader, isn't there? And as long as each person in a church says, not me leading, where will that church go? Nowhere. Nowhere. Churches need leaders. Someone to stand up and say, I'm going to take responsibility for this. I'm going to take ownership of this. The health of the church is up to me. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure people are cared for, to make sure people are healthy and growing. That's increased ownership of the church.
It's a beautiful thing, I'll tell you, when it happens.
Churches often have many followers and few leaders, and when that happens, very little gets done. So, to sum up, excellence offers your best time. Excellence offers careful thought and prayer. Excellence offers sacrificial resources. And excellence offers increasing ownership. But that sounds stressful, doesn't it? I was at this conference one time for public school boards, and the president said this, Working hard for something we don't care about is called stress. Working hard for something we truly care about is called passion. What this church requires, like any other church, is people of passion. People who are working in areas that they feel strongly about. If you care strongly about making sure that if anyone in this church is in the hospital, someone's visiting them, please come see me. If you feel passionately about lost people or kids or whatever it may be, work in your area of passion. Because when you work, you won't find it stressful. You're going to find it really rewarding. Unfortunately, too many people in churches, I think, are working in areas they don't care about, and they get stressed, and then they burn out, and then they never want to serve again. It's a very sad thing. We have said, as part of our philosophy, that strong churches are built by God through the church. It's those last three words that really strike me. Because it's not through the pastor. It's not through the elders. A strong church is built by the church, by the hand of God, through the entire church. And if we are going to have an impact on seeing people mature in their faith in our church, and if we are going to have an impact on people who do not know Jesus, it's going to require all of us having this attitude: my best, nothing less. I have some inspirational quotes for you. Some friends of yours. Anyone close personal friend of Zig Ziglar? No? Okay. He said, "There is no traffic jam on the extra mile." I like that one. How about this one? A leadership guru, John Maxwell, said, "If you don't have time to do it right the first time, when will you have time to do it over?" You can take that one down for your kids too, by the way. I'll give you extra time to write that one. 16th president of the United States is Abraham Lincoln. Thank you, Mr. History Buff. He said, "I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep on doing so until the end." Excellence, excellence, excellence. Pastor Bill Hybels said this: "God has only given his best to you. It is only right that we give our best to him." Finally, one more guy. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: "If a man is called to be a street sweeper or usher or offering counter, he should sweep streets." I dare you to say that lots, real fast. "Even as Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry, he should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, 'Here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well.'" Whatever we choose to do, however we choose to serve, God's word said, do it well. Do it enthusiastically. Give it your best. Crank it to 10. Don't allow laziness to take over. Round about 700 years ago, in the trades, if you were starting off in carpentry, you would study under a master carpenter. And over time, you would develop skills. You'd watch his work, pick up some tricks of the trade. And after a certain period of time, you would begin to work on something that displays your skills. It would take careful thought and preparation. Every curve, the very purpose of this piece would be well thought out. And eventually you would bring this to the master. This was your masterpiece. And then the master would determine whether or not you become a master carpenter or not, based on that work. My friends, my church, whom I love, what is going to be the masterpiece that you offer to your king? What will be the greatest work that God has done through you to serve others? In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never, never, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. My best, nothing less. Let's pray. Lord, we know that sometimes we don't really love the people in our church family. We may not love the people in our city. Sometimes, God, we can be really selfish. And we can sit back and say, hey, not me leading. Someone else. Someone else will do it. Lord, forgive us for when we have been lazy. Forgive us for when we've served, but we haven't served with genuine affection. Forgive us for when we've served and not given it our best. Lord, I pray that this church would be determined to offer you our masterpiece. That we would give you our all, our best. Because you are worthy. You are worthy of our best. Lord God, you are the one we love. We worship you. We have come here to hear from you, and I trust, Holy Spirit, that you've spoken to each one of us. Holy Spirit, continue to speak to us this week about offering you our best. We ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. As Emily and the team comes up, I just want to remind you that on